Parshas Tetzaveh effectively concludes the architectural plans for both the Mikdash, its constituent kelim, its vessels, its chambers, its curtains, and of course the clothing and uniforms which its officers should don or wear during their avoda. These instructions are delivered to Moshe, passed on to Bezalel and Aholiab. Presumably, the process will begin. Sadly and tragically, the process of constructing the Mishkan and the historical journey which had been launched a few weeks earlier after leaving Mitzrayim, receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, that process was disrupted by the Egel debacle. The end of Parshas Tetzaveh records two sections which seem out of place, which speak not exclusively or even directly about architectural plans, components, people, personalities, their uniforms, but about Korbanos. Korbanos will be amply described in Sefer Vayikra, the Sefer of Taras Kohanim. Clear and detailed enumeration of each and every Korban, Ola and Chatos, Shlomim and Toda. All of a sudden, the end of Parshas Tetzaveh records two Korbanos. Each has a meaning, each has a purpose. Each Korban provides a message which is crucial to the closure of the Mishkan preparations recorded in Parshas Tetzaveh. The first Korban which is discussed is the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, obviously, more precisely, two Korbanos, but a series of Korbanos. Of course, there are the Korbanos that are described, the Korbanos of the Miluim, the Korbanos that are uniquely offered when the Mishkan is completed as an inauguration or an induction ceremony, but those make sense. Those are a once-in-history set of Korbanos. Those make sense to be included in Parshas Tetzaveh. But in addition to those Korbanos, the Torah records the daily tamidim. Es hakeves echad ta'aseh v'boker, v'yeis hakeves hasheni ta'aseh bein harbayim, perich chavtes, pasuk lamites. Every morning, the same korban tamid shel shachar, the same korban tamid, the ola shel bein harbayim. Why are these korbanos listed in Parshas Tetzaveh? After all, they aren't unique to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Mishkan. They aren't unique to the Shmonas or Shivasim and Miluim. Wouldn't these Korbanos fit more conveniently? Wouldn't they be more textually or topically related to the lists in the description in Parshas Vayikra or Sefer Vayikra? The answer is obvious. And to illustrate the answer, I'll share with you a very interesting medrash. Medrash you know, but a girsa in the medrash which you probably don't. There's a well-known machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai, which is the most important pasuk in the entire Torah. If you could isolate one pasuk, Rabbi Akiva said, V'yahavta l're'acha kamocha zeh klal gadol batara, the basis of ethics and chesed, of gemilas chesedim. Ben Azai disagreed. Ben Azai felt that the basic pasuk is Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, pasuk in Bereishis Parakei, describing man's Tzelem and Lokim, another reason to engage and invest in chesed, not just to relieve the distress of the sufferer, but to restore the lost divine image and divine potential which this world strips us of. Either way, Rabbi Akiva's pasuk, Ben Azai's pasuk, makes perfect sense. Seem logical candidates, co-candidates in this primary election as to which is the most important pasuk in the Torah. But there's a third girsa. It's not really quoted in the Midrashim that we have in the Sifra in Parshas Kedoshim, where Rabbi Akiva's position and Ben Azai's positions are cited, but it is listed in the Maharal's version of this Midrash. The Maharal quotes a version of this Sifra, which offers a third opinion. The most important pasuk is not V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, is not Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam B'Demus Elokim Asoso, is not Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is not Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The most important pasuk in the Torah is this pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh. Es HaKeves Echad Ta'aseh V'Boker V'Yeis HaKeves HaSheni Taseh Ben Harbayim. How could such a banal and mundane, seeming pedestrian pasuk be selected to clash, to compete with the heavyweights? Anachi Hashem Elokecha, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Shema Yisrael, and all of a sudden, Esakev Esachat Taseh V'Boker. This is precisely the point. Parshas Tetzaveh contains many exciting, colorful, adventurous, unique, charismatic opportunities to build the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to contribute gold and silver, a dizzying array of colors and materials, precious metals and silky yarns. And not just the construction, but the ultimate ceremonies which will occur within the Beis HaMikdash, the grand heroic moments of induction. Could you imagine witnessing or attending the inauguration of the Mishkan? What a day it must have been, only to come crashing down through the death of Nadav and Avihu. But what a day and what a moment. What a surreal epiphany must have been like to attend the opening ceremonies of the Mishkan or the induction of the Beis HaMikdash in Melachim Perakhes, Melachim Aleph Perakhes. And not just the grandiose or the grandeur which attended the launching of the Mishkan, but the day-to-day color and excitement, different korbanos, different people, different kohanim, different days, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, Rosh Chodesh, Shavuos, Pesach, Omer, so many different korbanos, so many different moments for excitement. The korban tamid, shel shachar, v'shel bein harbayim, it's boring. It's dreary, it's monotonous, it's repetitious, the same carbon every morning, every evening. This is precisely the point. Religious growth cannot, must not, be based solely on moments of excitement or intermittent moments of great joy and euphoria, of ecstasy and spiritual high. For religious success to be achieved, and for that matter, any form of success, financial success, developmental success, educational success, any success, marital success, not just the high watermarks, the high points, the moments of excitement, the musafs, but the day-to-day repetition, coming into the Beis Medrash every day. Not every day will be as exciting as the day you have a special shiur on tap, or the day you have a special tefillah or a special trip or something meaningful, so to speak. To reach true excellence, you have to repeat your steps persistently, tenaciously, over the course of long stretches of time, and confront and defeat boredom rather than succumb to it. And if your view of Mishkan, and by definition your view of Mikdash, is limited only to the Karban Musafs, to the Karbanos during the Miluim, to the Big Day Kahuna, to the construction process of the Mishkan, your religious life will be spotty, intermittent, will be staccato, here and there moments of religious high, but interluding moments of religious mediocrity, sterility, listlessness. That's why the Torah corrects that danger. Es hakeves achad taseh haboker, v'es hakeves hasheni taseh bein harbayim. Deal with the routine. Don't flee from it. Don't try to escape routine by scheduling as many diversions, adventures, even if they're religious diversions and adventures, so to speak, and not diversions, but unique, extracurricular, super grand opportunities. Make sure that they are founded on the basic, common routine. The high can never stand without the low. The exciting and heroic, the tumultuous and the grand have to be built firmly on a foundation of the stable routine. Tamidim kisidram umusafim kil chasam, we say during davening. First, tamidim kisidram. Make sure that the skeleton, the routine, the willingness to work, to toil, to exert on a day-to-day repetitive sense, make sure that's intact. Musaf and Kilchasam, on top of those Tamidim, the Musaf can be offered. Tamidim Kisidram, Musaf and Kilchasam. So amidst all the exciting flurry of activity in the Mishkan, don't forget, as a Kevisacha Taseva Boker, Pis a Kevisacheni Taseh Ben Harbaim, as boring and routine, as monotonous and repetitive as it may seem, it's the foundation and the skeleton of Avodas Hashem, and not just obviously in the Mishkan, but in day to day life. davening every day, the same minyan, the same davening, the same tefillos, learning another page of Bava Kamma, another. Some people start Bava Kamma a few blot, then they move to Megillah a few blot. They always want to be page turners or Masechta openers, rather than maintaining the stamina, the intensity, the perseverance to maintain their routine in the face of the repetitive nature of a routine. By definition, every routine will be repetitive, but just the same, by definition, every routine will yield true excellence. And that's the first karbon that doesn't seem to belong to Parshas Tetzaveh. It's out of place and out of joint, but yet is described or detailed as a corrective to the dangers of religious experience, which the exciting grandeur of the Mishkan can excite and can imperil. But there's another danger, which another karbon is inserted to battle. Final sections of Parshas Tetzaveh describe the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner Mizbeach fashioned from gold, and the only karbon per se to be offered on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the only standard daily karbon, the daily Ktaris. Why is this karbon and this Mizbeach listed in the end of Parshas Tetzaveh? So the Ramban already describes al pi sod, the Ktaris has a special power, capacity to prevent a magefa, as witnessed in Parshas Korach. But we're not Kabbalists, and we can't understand the Ramban's, or we have a harder time understanding the Ramban's reference point, but even without Kabbalah, it seems that the Ktaris had a very unique message. Building a Mishkan, countering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can trigger the type of intimacy and closeness, the zeal, the love, the affection, the parity. We're building a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vasuni Mikdash, V'shachanti V'socham. God is now inhering, God is now residing, inherent within the human heart, not just within the Mishkan. We have drawn the Shechina, which spans the world and the cosmos, which Hashem is the Makomo Shel Olam. He is not limited to space and time, but He is space. He is the space of the world, Makomo Shel Olam. And we have drawn that Shechina into our world. That creates a giddy sense of love and joy, of equality and partnership, which the Mishkan is intended to describe. Aperion Asulam Melech, a palace the king allowed us to fashion, Psukim and Shir Hashirim. These vaunted psukim and Shir Hashirim describe building the Mishkan, building the Beis HaMikdash. Will that dose, one could say excess, of Ahavas Hashem trample our Yiras Hashem, our recognition that as much as we know, we can't penetrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, as close as we feel, that distance is transcendent, that distance is unbridgeable. Will our Yiras Hashem remain intact after the Mishkan has injected us with such volumes of Ahavas Hashem? The Ktaris is an antidote for that danger, for that religious illness or lack of equilibrium. The Ktaris is a plume of smoke. A plume of smoke reminds us that as close as we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't see Him, we can't understand Him, we can't negotiate that chasm or that canyon which separates us from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's unbridgeable. Torah writes in Parshas Acharei Motz, when it's describing the entry of the Kohen Gadol on the holiest day of the year, Ki Be'anan Eira'eh Al HaKapores, day the Kohen Gadol marches into the Kodesh HaKadashim, such intimacy, such proximity, such affection and equity. Ki be'anan era la kaparis. When you walk into that Kodesh HaKadashim and you're standing above the kaparis, make sure you bring kitaris. Make sure you raise a plume of smoke, a barrier of invisibility, a distorting agent to remind you that as much as you feel you can approach and advance, you cannot see Hashem. The only image in Tanakh which is associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is the image of an anan, of a cloud, the absence of any image, the distortion of visibility, the anan akavo, because we can't see Hashem. Lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Ktaris is a natural antidote against the dangers of assumed accessibility, of of excessive intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We remind ourselves that as close as we want to be and as close as we feel we can advance, Lo Yirani Hadam V'Chai, which is precisely why the Ketores is offered on Yom Kippur, which is precisely why the Ketores inhibits a Magefa, when that Magefa is caused by over-ambition in the theological realm, assumption that you can be so close to God that you chas v'shalom treat Him like your brother or friend or exclusively as your father rather than a transcendent other being. And that is precisely why the Ketores section is listed in the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, to guard against that other danger which Parshas Tetzaveh alerts, or not alerts, but awakens, excessive and unrestrained religious energy translated into too close an affiliation and affection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which isn't moderated or flavored by the recognition and acceptance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's transcendent distance. Chazal are very harsh when they describe the Ketores. Im chiser achas mikol samoneha chayev misa. If you concoct Ketores and you omit one ingredient, you add a little too much of one, a little too little of the other, chayev misa. Why are they so harsh regarding the ingredients of the Ketores? You would think there are other cardinal, capital offenses which legitimately warrant the death penalty, but slight alterations of the ingredients or texture, the constitution of the Ketores, should yield such harsh penalty? The answer is precisely as I mentioned earlier. Ketores is that reminder that as much as we know, as empowered as we are, as confident as we are in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to accept that distance. And if Hashem orders us to offer Ketores as a testament to that distance, this is a divine barrier, not one which we should ad lib about, because we feel that the inclusion of one extra spice will improve or embellish its aroma. This is the barrier. This is precisely the point. Offer Hashem's Ketores, Hashem's divine will, which we can't understand. Why should this spice be necessary and not that spice? Too much of this, too little of that. That's the point. Offer Hashem's recipe, not your own recipe. Remind yourself that there are certain realities you can't grasp. And it's specifically the aroma of the Ketores where we feel so empowered, so confident to discern and to distinguish different smells which are appealing and different. Specifically in that area, HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers a highly, highly regimented set of ingredients which cannot be violated, because the Ketores is meant to raise that barrier, to remind us of that transcendence with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im chiser achas mikol samoneha chayev misa. These are the two final inclusions in the end of Parshas Tetzaveh. These are the two inclusions which are meant, each in their own way, respectively, to guard against possible abuse which the excitement and euphoria of crafting a Mishkan could excite. One, don't get caught only up in the adventurous and the exciting. Make sure you're able to accept and excel within a routine. As a kibbutz achad, taseh v'abok, reves the kibbutz hasheni, taseh bin harbayim. Two, don't assume that building a house for Hashem and establishing all the avas Hashem, which Shir HaShirim describes, don't allow that to trample your recognition, to distort or pervert the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's transcendence and distance and unknowability. Ketores is that reminder that as much as we think we see, we're still barriered behind an invisible, impenetrable plume of smoke, figuratively, of course, that prevents us from truly seeing the Ribono Shel Olam. Im chiser achas mikol samoneha chayev misa. Shabbat shalom.